Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. Join us on our journey into the past, the present, and the future as we explore the relationship between technology and humanity. Together, we are going to find out what it means to live in a society where everything is connected and the only constant is change. Knowledge is power, now more than ever. Imperva is the cybersecurity leader whose mission is to protect data and all paths to it with a suite of integrated application and data security solutions. Learn more at imperva.com. Nintex is the global standard for business process management and automation. The Nintex platform helps their clients accelerate progress on their digital transformation journeys by quickly and easily managing, automating, and optimizing business processes. Learn more at nintex.com. RSA Security offers business-driven security solutions that provide organizations with a unified approach to managing digital risk that hinges on integrated visibility, automated insights, and coordinated actions. Learn more at rsa.com.
One of the best ways to tell a story, Marco?
To tell a story.
To tell a story. But in a book.
Yes, in a book. And if it's so good, then you make a movie out of it.
Exactly. Exactly. But, and we have a movie star, at least by name, joining us today.
Yeah.
The Rock.
Wow, you're going all the way there. All right, no pressure.
Wow.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure at all.
That's right. Just a little bit of a standard to live up to here.
You know, it will be kind of interesting. As you said that, Sean, I'm thinking like before or later, there is going to be a good movie about cybersecurity, not just hacking, like actually what the story of an adventure in cybersecurity. So never know. Start from a book.
We may be living it and we don't even know quite yet that we are. So
That's true.
So Rock Lambros is with us, but he's not the only one. He has somebody with him who is, as you might guess, working with him to write a book, and that's Matthew Sharp. Matthew, thanks for joining us as well.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Thanks, guys.
And this is part of our Redefining Security channel, where we, as you can tell by the name of the channel, it's looking at how we identify the needs and challenges associated with cybersecurity and putting in programs and methods and processes and all the stuff that makes it happen in a way that drives business value, right? That's our whole goal here. It's not the department of no, not a cost center. It's a way to enable the business to do what they want to do. So many ways to take that. And we're going to use the book that Rock and Matt are working on as kind of a guide. It's about business acumen. So we're going to use that as a guide to guide this conversation, and we'll see where we go. So before we get there, though, Rock, a few words about yourself, and then we'll pass it to Matt to do the same.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah, I'm Rock Lambros. Sorry if you were expecting the other Rock. You know, I have a small cybersecurity company based out of Denver. Matt and I decided to get together and embark on this adventure of writing a book. Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, Matt Sharp, formerly out of Denver, but I live in Brooklyn now. I've been here for the last 4 years, joined a company here out of the Northeast called LogicWorks. We help folks move to the public cloud and then operate and optimize in the public cloud, primarily AWS and Azure. And I serve as the CISO for LogicWorks. I would say, just to expand on the commentary, Rock and I had an opportunity to work with some other CISOs out of the Denver market. We went to RSA this last year and we presented, we participated in a panel, which I was surprised at how well attended it was on the last day. And we came out of that experience really inspired and decided that we had more to say. And so we've spent about 4 or 5 months just meeting and brainstorming. And then we convinced a publisher to give us an advance and to write a book. So we've got a legit publisher and now we've got to show up with the goods. So,
well, that's a start. And to be honest,
this is inspiration. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what makes this conversation interesting for me, because we have talked in other occasion about books, recently actually, about technology, some about adventure to go in the South Pole and North Pole and on top of the Everest, or spies from the captured by the FBI. But this is the first time that we actually talk about a book that is in a work on progress. And so I like to cover that side. So the inspiration of the book and why did you decide to write it? And you know, and maybe what are the challenges that you're having into putting on paper? And I'm doing air quotes right now for people that are not watching because it's a podcast. And what's the process? So Rock, let's start with you. So you guys went to RSA, get inspired, say, Matthew, we got to do something about it because we see a lack of something. So what was that sparkle?
Yeah, so from my perspective, you know, there's a lot of burnout in the industry, right? There's a lot of, we constantly hear about underfunded and under-resourced cybersecurity programs. We hear about a failure to garner trust against the business because we are that department of no, and I'm using air quotes now. You know, that all leads to demoralized teams and, you know, we're constantly fighting an uphill battle and all of that. And, you know, my belief, and turns out that Matt has a similar belief, is that we can fix a lot of that by improving our business acumen to become more strategic partners with the business rather than that tactical day-to-day, you know, they're just the tech guys that are going to handle security off to the side and it's just an IT risk and they'll worry about it, right? So we want to write a book almost in the style of a personal MBA for the next generation or even the current generation of cybersecurity leaders to help elevate their profile within the organization.
Yeah, I think for me, you go to all of these sessions, and when you've been in the industry long enough to have had your CISSP for 20 years, you start to recognize some trends in the conversations, right? So you go to every conference that you go to, you hear a number of platitudes, and they get repeated again and again. And this really sort of frustrated me a lot when I was younger, because I wasn't sure how to really get at the underlying content. So how many times have you heard, you got to speak the business of the language of the business? For crying out, yeah, like, yeah, great, that's perfect. But I came out of a CS program. I wrote code, and then I developed web apps, and then I started managing some infrastructure and stumbled into security, and here I am. So how the hell do I talk to the business? I don't know. I don't have this experience. So that was my experience coming up. And I kept hearing these platitudes and decided the only way that I'm going to get the real answers was to actually go pursue an MBA. I debated that for a long, long time. And then my wife and I decided to do a round the world trip. And we came back. I still had that hunger for the knowledge. And so I enrolled and started to, you know, switch from consulting to be an operator, less travel. Enrolled in an MBA and then started to try to apply those business concepts as a leader of a global cybersecurity program. And then sort of after that whole experience, I felt like maybe I overinvested, spent too much time getting the knowledge and skills that I needed. And I really felt like what I could have done better was more narrowly acquire the skills that would be really applicable and impactful in the context of cybersecurity. And so I think, you know, Rock and I walked away from this experience at RSA, and he too has an MBA and had, I think, a very similar experience. Yeah. And then, you know, so together now we've got a couple of data points that make a lot of sense to share. And the goal is to really, you know, help folks get the knowledge that they need that's going to help them be impactful inside of a business without having to spend $100,000 to get an MBA. That's really the driving force, is to share some of this knowledge.
No, I love that. And Rock, I want to turn to you because similar to what Matt just said, I mean, we are in constant seek mode for stories about how security enables business. And similar to your point of there's a lot of platitudes around just talk business from the security perspective. Well, how do you do that, right? And it's very hard to find the stories of security actually driving the business. I know they're there, but I don't know that it's easy to describe them. So we talked before we started recording that there's a process of, there's these platitudes. How do you get down underneath to what matters? How do you then capture that? How do you that share that? How do you get somebody to absorb it, read it and absorb it? Let's say it's in written form. And then how do you get them to act on it? So maybe if you can describe a little bit about how you're working the content, taking what's in your mind together from others and getting it to a point where I think we said your ultimate goal is to make this a guide, right? So how are you doing that?
So Matt and I spent a lot of time up front outlining the book. You know, we kind of took the content of both of our MBA programs, mishmashed them around, and kind of decided what's applicable and like, what can we throw out? And, you know, we're kind of approaching this with the mindset of, hey, you don't need an MBA to do what we're doing. And then, so as we're going through the book, you know, I'm leveraging my experiences, Matt's leveraging his experiences, but it's like, great, who's Matt and Rock? Right. So we're doing deeper research and, you know, turning to experts in the various topics that we're talking about, whether it be like Jordan Peterson in communications or something like that. Right. And, you know, putting our thoughts together, kind of with their thoughts, referencing them, whatever, and putting together, hopefully, what ends up being almost like a how-to guide through an explanation of kind of the topic, through how we've applied that topic throughout our careers, you know, by weaving in our experiences and our stories through that, and hopefully providing at the end some very tangible tools that somebody can take away and say, this is a checklist. This is a step one, step two, step three type of methodology that I can take to improve my communication skill sets or to better align cyber risk to enterprise risk, right? Or to better negotiate and develop business cases for our cybersecurity initiatives.
All right, so let's take that word, communication. We have so many conversations with CISOs and how you have to be able to tell stories to the board to get the money. And it's not just that technical reason, but it's the connection with the business. So it's a business of security. So for me, the fact that you guys both have an MBA and so you can talk business, you can talk tech and security, it's the perfect match. How you're going to translate that into a book instead of an MBA and another degree, that's a different story. So I'm assuming you're actually going to apply some storytelling technique to this, because you gotta give the picture, right? So how are you planning to do this? I know you're a few chapters in, so the book is not out there yet. So Matthew, how is that going?
Well, I mean, Rox started at the highest level, you know, outline the book, right? We've got what we're calling business acumen, where we've got a communication and a leadership. And I think all of those come together to really engage a business in a functional way. And then we've taken a chance to really structure each chapter in a predictable way, as you might expect. So we've got, you know, an information, like a quote, an inspirational quote at the beginning. And then there's typically an opportunity section where we describe the opportunity ahead of folks. And this is kind of the level of platitude and engagement kind of content that you tend to get in a conference. And then what we do is we talk about the principles that really support that opportunity in a much more structured, enumerated way, maybe pulling in outside content and research. So, you know, behavioral science or just the structure of a financial report or an example business case where we're leveraging things like internal rates of return, or a sample valuation of a business, be it public or private, and some of the contributing factors to scaling a multiple and defining enterprise value, right? So you get these core concepts that you can articulate, and then you apply them. And so before my experience as an operator in a publicly traded company and now in a private equity-owned organization, I was in a consulting capacity for a decade, working for a number of the Fortune 500 folks. And now Rock has that same opportunity. He was an operator for a long, long time, and he's gone the other direction, which we now call the dark side. It wasn't the dark side when I was there. So we're pulling in those outside stories. And sometimes we have to do some anonymization of the experiences, but they're really foundationally grounded in well over two decades of consulting experience and another two decades of living it as an operator. And I will tell you, there's a difference, right? There's consultants who have been consultants their whole lives, haven't lived the operator experience, and operators who haven't made the transition, I think, also have a biased perspective. And so I think the blend that we both bring is good. And the stories are good. I mean, some of the stories talk about how we've been able to leverage the build out in a new program, to analyze a program using a business model canvas, or to apply that business model canvas to understand what's the most important thing for valuing a business, and how are you going to position maybe the build out of your vulnerability management program by capitalizing it to keep it below the line, because there's a big focus on EBITDA. And so I think, each chapter, at least in the beginning of the book, I think builds upon the next chapter, and there is some cumulative knowledge. Yeah. And holistically, I mean, you can tell I'm amped. I think this stuff is super cool. I think there's a lot of great opportunities to really, really help the number of people that come out of this technical background who are incredibly intelligent, but lack some of the foundational skills that will help them be very successful.
Yeah, and just to build on that, I think the stories are, because Matt and I combined have about 40 years of experience in the industry, the stories are genuine, and they're actually stories that we have lived. Like Matt said, we're, removing the names to protect the innocent, but they're actually genuine stories, and I think that'll come across as we put down that pen to paper.
Yeah, and you're super connected, and you both do a ton of work with a lot of people, and I think those experiences and those conversations would certainly help shape what you're working on. And Rock, I want to stick with you, because in some of the materials you sent over leading up to this, there were a few words that stuck out there. There was leadership, team, obviously there's the tech stack, budgeting and finance. And when I think of those things, and there are other points in there, of course, that you're touching on in the book, but when I think of those things, I tend to look at it like a math problem, right? So you talk about the story, you talk about the situation, but there are variables that we don't know. What is X in this equation? And it's understanding how does X fit into the equation to then begin to solve the problem. So I don't know if that's a good way to look at it or not, but are you helping people identify, okay, here's the equation, and you probably don't have X. You don't know what the average cost of a breach is, or you don't know what a phishing attack might cost you, or you don't know whatever X in that equation is. Are you helping them to uncover those elements so that they actually do the math on becoming a cyber program that's for the business?
Yeah, so we're certainly trying to identify those variables, right? But I think the key point that I want to get across is you're never going to have all the information, right, to make a perfect decision. And even that decision that you think is a perfect decision today may not be a perfect decision tomorrow, right? Because our threat landscape and risk posture changes constantly, right? However, what we're hoping to do is provide you with the tools to create that business case that shows the organization that you're not just paranoid about Russia implanting bad code into your product that'll get pushed out to tens of thousands of organizations and government entities, right? So that we're not just those paranoid guys, but we're actually listening to the business. We understand the context of the business and trying to make cyber decisions aligned to the business as opposed to just in a silo, right? So that could be understanding, is your business in a high growth mode, or is your business just trying to hang on to get through a global pandemic, right? So is your business burning through money because of the high growth, or is it cash strapped, right? And how do you adjust your cyber risk decisions accordingly? And that's what we're hoping to enable people to do, right? Is to have those conversations. It's not just, hey, we need an IAM product, right? Or not just, hey, we need to advance our vulnerability management program. Okay, why? And help them build those stories to share with their organizations to elevate their profile within the organization, to be more strategic partners than that tactical day-to-day operator.
It seems to me it's more of a business book than a cybersecurity book.
I'll tell you something funny.
Or is it both?
Well,
it's both. It's both.
We were sitting down to write, and you know, one of the things that we did was a competitive analysis. There's a number of authors out there that have done some really, really great work, like guys that have inspired me. You think about Hayslip, and you think about Malcolm Harkins, and you think about even Rich Sireson, who just wrote his book on metrics with Doug Hubbard. And there are dozens and dozens and dozens of others, but Tom Fitzgerald, you look in some of those books, do a control F inside, get an electronic version of those books and search for, we're saying constantly, you have to connect to the value of the business. Do a search in those books for the term business value. You'd be surprised what you don't find, right? Like, why is that phrase not present in an entire 300-page volume? If the key piece is to help the business, you've got to start there. You've got to talk about that. And you have to have the tools or enable people with tools to be able to, just like we do with a technical perspective, you dissect an organization in a structured and meaningful way. And then just like you mentioned, Sean, what are those variables that you can maneuver? Well, your CFO has a set of controls or a set of levers and buttons that he wants to pull, and your board does too. And they're not estranged to making decisions with uncertainty, right? Every time a company makes a decision to throw another, make a PE investment of $400,000, you don't know if there's a breach behind. The Blackstone guys just threw $400 million into FireEye, and then, you know, weeks later they come out with a major data breach. And so that uncertainty exists all over the place for a whole bunch of reasons, whether you're building a product that has to do with, disruptively innovating inside of the insurance, mortgage, underwriting market, or what have you. So I think the concept that you've presented about the variables and what have you is slightly tweaked. And the way that I would think about it is more, what are the control levers that the people that are actually responsible for making the decisions for allocation of cash and responsible for making the decisions around the risk appetite of the business, meaning namely your board of directors and your executive leadership team, you have to be able to connect to those and be able to say things that are, you know, directly tied to that. So, you know, we talk a ton about vulnerability management. Vulnerability management is a program that we just built this last year, rebuilt for the second time. We built it and we rebuilt it. And what are the metrics that you surface to the business to tell a meaningful story that they care about? So are you surfacing how many vulnerabilities, or are you surfacing how resilient book-to-bill part of your professional services delivery mechanisms work, and have you protected the application and systems that are going to really enhance value? And if those things are not available because they've been hacked or denial of service, or because they're not resilient and they have a poorly integrated open source code that's got key dependencies, what does that mean? And if you're heading towards an exit, like, are you paying attention to the open source that you're integrating into your intellectual property? Does that have the potential to devalue your business because all of this IP scarcity that you've just invested in creating is actually illegally licensed, then you're going to have to either rip that out, or somebody who acquires you is going to have to rip that out. So those are the kinds of discussion points that I hope we really surface in the book and say, hey, don't go and ask for a secure code automation tool. Go and have a dialogue that says we're concerned about making sure that the intellectual property is defensible and that we don't have any, my CEO talks about getting punched in the face as a means for thinking about surprises. The last thing you want to be doing is sitting on a call with your investor. You've got an LOI at the valuation that you want, and you learn that your intellectual property isn't adequately licensed. Like, that's not the time to find that out, right? So have a conversation about that. Don't have a conversation about secure code automation, because your board and your CFO don't care about that part.
Yeah. This is, I feel like, it's a very unique opportunity, almost like you're filming the making of something, right? It's a behind the scene, because you guys are still writing the book.
Yep.
My question is, as you are in the middle of it, when you write something or you prepare a presentation or write an article, even more so a book, it's also an opportunity for you to think for yourself, to rethink. And maybe when you get to a half point, you're like, you have a revelation. Maybe, oh, this is more difficult than what I thought it was going to be. Or maybe this is out of the scope and I just had an idea. So how is the book morphing as you're writing? And are you just going straight to that line, to that goal that you had prefixed? Or you are making adjustment based on the discovery that you make?
That's a very interesting question. So like you said, the book is a work in progress. And I've certainly learned things along the way as I've been digging in to research. And, you know, and a lot of times, you know, I kind of look back on, because as I'm writing the story section, right, the application section, it's like, yeah, I did that. I just didn't know I was doing that, right? So, you know, I'll highlight that. Or vice versa, you know, I'll highlight failures, right? I think we learn more through failure than through success. And so I'll highlight, you know, we'll talk about whatever in the chapter, and then I'll highlight a failure of, hey, I didn't do this. I consider this a failure. This is why. This is what I learned from it. So I think the book takes a couple different turns in that regard. But I think what Matt and I are learning more along the way is what a pain copyright law is.
Right? Well, that's something. You're learning something.
Exactly. So, Matt, how about you?
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm in a role, right? And I, you know, there's some truth to the things that Rock has said. So, recently finished a chapter on decision science and how to apply decision science. And we end up referencing these three different frameworks. One is an influencer framework. Another one is called RAP, and it's part of a book called Decisive. And then there's a third framework called Nudges. And the frameworks apply to different types and styles of decision making. And so you influence decisions in all kinds of ways as a CISO, right? You want to influence user behaviors, and those are trying to influence the way people make snap judgments or snap decisions. So you've heard a whole bunch of books in the 2010 timeframe came out about this kind of snap decisions, decision making. And I'm thinking about Blink, and Daniel Kahneman published a book, and there were several others that came out about that time. And then there are other types of decisions that are much more deliberate. System two type decisions, and you think about and influence those in very, very different ways. And so there are, you know, frameworks and structured ways with powerful research that say that you can 10x your probability of having successful outcomes in those deliberate types of decisions by overdetermining your success. And so, you know, I'm reading this stuff in the middle of refactoring part of my vulnerability management program and writing my security awareness training content. And I'm thinking, gosh, I would be stupid to not just apply this stuff right now in the face of my phishing program and how I'm encouraging people to go and engage with the security awareness content, or like what are we doing over here with the vulnerability management program where we've got people that are yelling at each other because they're so frustrated? How do we fix that problem? Because I got to tell you, I don't want to be yelling at people. I also don't want to be the manager of people who are yelling at people. That sucks. So yeah, man, for sure. This stuff has really caused me to hit the pause button on projects in flight and refactor my approach. And it's been pretty dang humbling as well. You know, you show up and you're supposed to be a thought leader and you're going to write this book. And what you learn is you got a lot to learn along the way. So it's definitely been that too.
I love it. And Rock, I want to turn to you for maybe your final thought with this point in mind. Because you both were very gracious. I presented an idea that maybe had a little bit of merit on the variables. And it was quickly absorbed, and then Matt had, well, if we look at that in this way, I can see how we can apply it here. And I guess the point I want to make with that is, clearly this is a safe environment where I could share that thought and idea, but we took it and absorbed it and used it and kind of went with it in a different way. And I'm wondering, the idea of failing fast, being comfortable to share an idea, failing fast, not trying to be perfect, recognizing and refactoring where you might need to change again, and doing that where you understand who your audience is, what their perspective might be, and you use the word influence as well. So how do we take that and influence somebody to achieve our common goal? That's a lot.
That is a lot. So I think transparency is key, right, with regards to failing fast, failing often, because at the, I guess you could say at the CISO level, right, you're presenting to the board, you're presenting presumably quarterly, but your strategy may change rapidly, right, in that, throughout the course of that quarter. So the boards don't necessarily want to know the how, right, the how the sausage is made, but they certainly want to know the what and the why. Because they're concerned about, hey, can we have a breach that's going to materially impact our disclosures, right? So I think transparency there is key. And just let go of the ego, to be frank. You know, I'm going to make a generalization, but there's a lot of arrogance throughout cybersecurity. And I think we just have to let go of the ego. We don't know the answers to all the problems, right? So if we have an idea that we have either made a snap decision on or used one of the a more formal framework to pursue, and we find out and we realize, hey, it wasn't the right idea, that's okay. You know, learn from it, pivot, and move on. Right, make the better decision at that point in time, and then rinse and repeat. I think it's we have to understand that being wrong, not being the smartest person in the room sometimes, is okay, right? As long as you let your ego go and you're open and transparent about it.
Yep. Excellent points. Be humble.
Be humble. Exactly.
So hard. It's so hard. It's so hard. I hate being wrong. I can't tell you, like, you know, it's so hard.
Well, thankfully, you're never wrong, so you're all right on that front.
Yeah, but if there is something
that ego point,
right? Yeah, exactly.
But if there is, well, nobody likes to be wrong, but I feel like that what you said before, I think Rock said that, or maybe both of you. It's like what we were talking about, the learning process. You know, nobody knows everything, and that would be really bad if somebody did, because we're always growing, especially in this industry. So I think arrogance in this case, being full of themselves, is assuming that you got the answer to something that it's not even a question. It's a constant question and constant movement. So I think the lesson there is to stay open and open-minded and listen to everybody. And I sure enjoy listening to you guys, and I've been looking forward to read the book.
Absolutely. Yep.
I know
stay
how
connected with each other. Stay yeah. humble. Read. Put into practice what you learn. Don't be
afraid. I'm not going to ask you when it's going to be out, because that's extra pressure on you. Guess when you have it, you have
they may have a hard date set. Who knows?
No, the target is it's probably going to be Well, the manuscript's due this coming summer, right? So by the time the publisher does all their magic on it, it'll be late 2021, early 2022.
All right.
All right, it'll be in there.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to it, too. Been done.
It should be good. You know what I'm looking forward to? Is all the incredible business of security stories that come from the people that read this book. Because we're going to see value driven by security.
That's the goal, I hope. Yep. That's what we hope. Right, is to kind of up-level everyone's profile within the organization, right? And to solve a lot of those symptoms that we're seeing with regards to just misaligned cybersecurity programs and underfunded, under-resourced, which we're always going to be to an extent, but just being able to better navigate around that.
It's a really good thought. I mean, you know, part of the entire process that I didn't realize was the social media engagement, potential website, and building a community around the book. We've got another friend, a CIO, who wrote a book, and he's really been informative along the way, Chris Laping. And you raise a cool point, Sean. How do we capture that feedback and sort of memorialize it after the fact in order to surface the knowledge of the broader community and, you know, capture the things, any of those inspiring stories that are told following after the book? So it's definitely a thing for us to think about. How do we get that back in the hands of the broader community?
Yeah, the feedback loop.
Exactly. Well, listen, guys, congratulations on the journey thus far and to all the work that you've put into it and the value that's going to come from it once people start to read it. Appreciate you sharing the story with us and helping us to redefine security.
Thank you guys for having us. Appreciate it.
RSA Security offers business-driven security solutions that provide organizations with a unified approach to managing digital risk that hinges on integrated visibility, automated insights, and coordinated actions. Learn more at rsa.com. Nintex is the global standard for business process management and automation. The Nintex platform helps their clients accelerate progress on their digital transformation journeys by quickly and easily managing, automating, and optimizing business processes. Learn more at nintex.com. Imperva is the cybersecurity leader whose mission is to protect data and all paths to it with a suite of integrated application and data security solutions. Learn more at imperva.com. We hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you learned something new and this story made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.